Star Wars 7x7, episode 3587. You know what we haven't talked about here on the podcast? Star Wars Outlaws. So it's coming August 30th. We got a drop date for it, and they released a story trailer, and they've done a whole bunch of stuff about it already. So yeah, we're going to start talking about Outlaws for a couple of days while we're waiting for the Bad Batch finale to drop. Punch it! Hey, Rebel Rouser. I'm Alan Voivod, and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. So, we're going to count down to the finale of The Bad Batch. It's happening just 2 days from now, but we're going to do that while keeping everybody in a safe zone here, and we're going to talk about something that we haven't talked about yet here on the podcast, which is Star Wars Outlaws. So, a trailer dropped a little bit ago, and we're going to talk about the highlights of that trailer today, and then there have been other videos released about it, and also some long-form stuff online about it, too, so we'll kind of summarize that stuff while we wait for the Bad Batch finale. And before we begin, I do just want to say thank you so much to all of the patrons who help make this show possible for you every single day with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7. All right, so Star Wars Outlaws is going to take place in that 1 year space in between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And we know that this is the case, well, because they've told us previously, but also because of something that happens in the trailer where we see the hero of Star Wars Outlaws, Kay Vess, looking at the carbonite block of Han Solo hanging on Jabba the Hutt's wall in Jabba's palace. So yeah, that pretty much puts us right into that between ESB and ROTJ space, and I think maybe possibly a little closer to Return of the Jedi, comparatively speaking, because of that whole War of the Bounty Hunters thing where once Boba Fett got the carbonite block and everybody was after him trying to steal it from him, and then it was thawing out and all that other crazy stuff that happened in that comic series and all the crossover stuff. So we find out that there are 5 particular criminal syndicates that are going to come into play in this, including the Hutts and the Pikes and Crimson Dawn, which we've heard about. And then there's a new one, the Ashiga clan, that has been created for the game, and they're based on Kijimi, which we first saw in The Rise of Skywalker. We'll have to see if they're connected to the Spice Runners at all. And the fifth group is the Zarek Besh. They had a name check in a comic, basically, someplace, so it's not completely out of nowhere, but for all intents and purposes, it's kind of a new thing. They're being led by this guy called Sliro, and the group is supposed to be comparatively new and very well-funded and very deadly also, so there's that. And apparently our hero Kay Vess has done Sliro wrong in some fashion. So Sliro's gunning for her, and it has some hunter that's one of the best in the Outer Rim assigned to the job, but apparently this hunter finds out that Kay Vess is mixed up in something even bigger and is mad at Sliro because Sliro didn't tell this hunter that Kay Vess was connected in some fashion. And I think that's going to tie in to the fact that what happens in the gameplay is that you're supposed to be working to build your reputation by taking jobs with these various criminal syndicates and whatnot. So everything is about your reputation. There's a scene where she shows up to talk at the Pikes, and the Pike leader there has her thrown out and says, "You're new here, come back when you're not." So it's all about gaining, you know, reputation credits within the game. Maybe credits isn't exactly the right word for it, like reputation points, something to that effect, but I think you get the idea. But whatever the bad blood is between Sliro and Kay Vess, where, you know, Sliro has a price out on Kay Vess's head, that seems to be the micro level thing, because there's a macro level thing going on as well, where Sliro is trying to convince people with these other syndicates that, hey, there's a lot of money to be made in the galaxy right now because the Empire is super distracted by the rebellion happening. And on the other side of the coin, this mysterious person shows up on Kay Vess's ship and sells her on a deal to rob Sliro of his entire fortune in order for her to buy her freedom. In other words, to get out from under whatever price Sliro has on her head, which seems a little odd. Like, you'd think that that would actually make him even angrier, unless she just utterly and completely bankrupts him so that he gets taken over by somebody else or something like that, or taken out by one of the other syndicates. And tangential, but kind of related. There's a whole thing in The Living Force by John Jackson Miller. That's a novel that just came out not too long ago about the Jedi Council in the year before The Phantom Menace. And the bad guys, like in this particular part of the galaxy, one of them is talking about how when there are two bad groups or three bad groups or four bad groups, like looking at the dynamics of what happens when there are so many groups fighting for resources and whatnot, and the stability or instability of those dynamics. And she says that like when it's five, that's when things are the most unstable and crazy. And that's exactly what we have with Star Wars Outlaws. Oh, and since you're probably wondering, because I mentioned Crimson Dawn earlier, yes, in the timeline, Kira would still be in charge of Crimson Dawn, and there have been reports separately that she will appear in the game, which is pretty fun. And so while Kay is working with the various criminal organizations and boosting her reputation score, she's also, I guess, working toward this bigger heist situation and is putting together some sort of crew for that as well. So I'm sure there will be a lot of other interesting scoundrels that appear as part of the shenanigans. So yeah, that's pretty much the high level stuff that I think is worth flagging for you in regard to the Outlaws story trailer that came out just a couple of weeks ago. And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. We'll talk about more Outlaws stuff tomorrow. But in the meantime, please help more people find this daily dose of Star Wars joy for themselves. You can do that by leaving a rating or review. You can do that by hitting a like, a subscribe, a follow, a join button. Those tell the almighty algorithms on the various places that this is worth serving up in search for people and in recommendations and whatnot. And you can recommend it to your friends too. That would be super awesome to do. And if you really value this daily dose of Star Wars joy in your life, you can also help support its creation and production. You can learn more about that at patreon.com/sw7x7. It just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the podcast, as always. And may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.